Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So now we're going to look ahead to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. And I'm joined in the studio by freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry and producer and director Brian Redden. Good to see you both again.
You too.
July, can we believe it?
No.
First up today, this is hitting Irish cinemas at the weekend. It's Barbie.
Not even broken, you'll be fine.
Shredding waves is much more dangerous than people realize.
You're very brave, Ken.
Thank you, Barbie.
Yeah.
You know, surfer's not even my job.
I know.
And it is not lifeguard, which is a common misconception.
Very common.
Yeah, because actually my job, it's just beach.
Right.
And what a good job you do at beach.
You should heal up in no time. Actually, in the time that it took for me to say that sentence, you healed.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Hey, Barbie.
Yeah.
Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool.
Ryan Gosling as Ken, Margot Robbie as Barbie. Stop trying to book your tickets. It's not this weekend. It's the 21st of July when it's coming
excited.
Out. Aoife, what is this? There's so much hype about it. People were really critical when they saw the first pictures emerging from the set because they did look bizarre.
Yeah, it's a tough one because when they first emerged, like Greta Gerwig is the director, and I think that's the key with it, that, you know, she's associated with like indie films and then slightly bigger films like Little Women that people remember from a couple of years ago. She's a really much loved director and actress. I'm a big fan of hers. And she is somebody that you wouldn't associate with a really big brand, like a piece of IP like Barbie, particularly because Barbie is kind of a controversial doll. I mean, she's obviously been criticized for, I suppose, how she represents the woman, the female form, and whether she's a good, you know, example for young girls, etc., etc. So at the start, people were very curious, but now the clips are coming out, like the one you played there from the film, and it seems like a really deadpan, very funny film that actually takes, I suppose, the spirit of Barbie but then does something interesting with it. What we know happens in the film in terms of the plot is that Barbie and Ken get kicked out of Barbie land for not being perfect enough, basically, and they go on, I suppose, like a road trip into the real world. So we get to see them going from their perfect strange little doll world into the real world, and as you can tell there, Ken, played by Ryan Gosling, is very, very stupid, and I think that'll be interesting to see in the real world. It looks really beautiful, and also the initial trailer was like a parody of Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, the opening kind of scenes in that, and that showed the level of humour and kind of not taking yourself too seriously but seriously enough in terms of what Greta Gerwig is planning with
Barbie. Well, they've done great marketing, that's all I
they
can
really
say.
Have.
I
mean, they really have, it's everywhere.
Everyone is talking about it. Now the other one we're going to talk about is also on the big screen. This is Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. We're not playing a clip of this because it's full of amazing stunts, but they don't make for good radio.
No, so they don't. Actually, funny you say, I was looking at the clip you and he only talks at the very end of the trailer, like, you know, he doesn't even talk because it's just action, 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 action. So this is the seventh Mission Impossible film, if you can imagine. And as you say, it's Reckoning, it's Dead Reckoning Part 1. So Part 2 is coming next year. And they shot this last year. They shot both of them in together at the same time. Christopher McQuarrie, this is his third time directing and writing a Mission Impossible film, and you know what you're getting with him behind the helm. He's a really good action director, and the action sequences are absolutely superb. I mean, the plot in these things never really matters, but it's basically Tom Cruise is back as Ethan Hunt, the Mission Impossible team. In this particular one, this kind of mad, crazy genius, nobody knows who he is, and he's developed this machine that will take over the world. Essentially, that's what it's about. And Tom Cruise has to try and find out who he is and what this machine is. And in the course of doing that, his team come under threat, and he has to decide whether he wants to save the world or save his team. That's essentially the same plot in every Mission Impossible movie. So the plot really isn't that important. What's important is, you know, the stunts and the gadgets. And last year, of course, they shot this during COVID, and they had to stop filming it during COVID, and a lot of clips were leaked online. There's a bit of controversy about it because I don't know if you remember the clips of Tom Cruise giving out to the crew
because
they broke the COVID. Like, remember all that?
Yeah.
And he really, really had went really hard on them. So it's been a long time coming, this film, but it's getting great reviews. It opens on Monday.
He still does his own stunts, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he's 61 now. So when he made this, he was 60. He doesn't look, he's in great shape. And he continuously does his own stunts. And most of these Mission Impossible films tend to be based around one big stunt. You'll always see, and it's not giving it away because you see it in the trailer. In this one, it's a stunt. We've seen it before in James Bond movies, but in this one, Tom Cruise, he's on the motorbike and he kind of goes up a ramp off the side of a cliff, but he's got a parachute in his back and he kind of parachutes off into the abyss. But it's stunning. I mean, he did it about 6 or 7 times. And the last one, he's hanging off the side of a, he's hanging off the side of a plane as a plane takes off. And every movie he makes, you're thinking, how is he going to top this? But that's him doing those stunts. Insurance companies must go nuts when you hear these movies are being made.
The last time we were chatting about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the documentary on Netflix, which I have since watched, and just good, looking at that, that's really good, But watching the toll, the physical toll that those action movies take out of the stars, you just wonder how at 60, 61, you're still doing that stuff.
But I know. Well, the second one, this is 2 hours and 45 minutes long. And it literally ends.
Why do they do that?
I know, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
No, I'm not doing it. It's too long.
But apparently it feels, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently it feels like about 15 minutes, but it ends on a cliffhanger. So you know it's a Dead Reckoning Part 2 is coming next year. And obviously Cruise has already got that in the can. And he says he's going to make more, but that'll be his 8th Mission Impossible film. And by the time he makes another one, he'll be in his mid-60s, so who knows?
Dragging the earth out of it.
He is. But he's in great shape and he's a great actor and his great action sequences in it. So, you know, what's not to love about it? It's going to, and you know what? Cinema needs this at the moment. There isn't enough big blockbusters like, because I saw the Indiana Jones film last week. It's terrible. It's getting really bad reviews.
Okay.
Cinemas are half empty. If cinema needs Tom Cruise and it needs these blockbusters to survive, you know, and it's these movies that are letting films like the Barbie film and all get made on more indie films. So unfortunately, we need them. And not unfortunately, because they're great fun. They're great crack.
Yeah, if you have 2 hours and 45 minutes.
2 hours and 45 minutes to spare,
The other one that cinema probably needs is Oppenheimer. It's completely different to Barbie. It's released on the same day.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of fans who are going to see the two of them on the same day, because this is a cinephile's dream, where you have, you know, Greta Gerwig, you know, indie queen, and then you have Christopher Nolan, who always gives you such a guaranteed, like, great experience. Like, I always love going to see Christopher Nolan films, even though the last one, Tenet, made no sense. I had no idea what was happening with those films, but, you know, I was like, you know what, he just did a great job, I don't mind. This hopefully looks a bit more straightforward. It's called Oppenheimer. It's about a guy called J. Robert Oppenheimer, who is played by our own Cillian Murphy, and it's a big thing for Cillian Murphy to play this role, because even though he's been in about four or five other Christopher Nolan films, he's never had that lead role. Like, he's played roles like the Scarecrow, for example, in the Batman films, and in this he's had to lose a lot of weight to look like Oppenheimer. You can see he looks very kind of angular in the scenes. He really wanted to get the silhouette of this man who was responsible for the Trinity test, this testing of a nuclear bomb during World War II, this massive, huge, kind of life-changing, world-changing event, and the struggles around that, the idea of who Oppenheimer is, how he felt about the event, how it actually went. Christopher Nolan decided to make this after reading a biography about Oppenheimer, and felt that he was a really, like, complicated character, which he was. If you go read the stories about him, you'll see there's all this really interesting stuff that happened. So it looks really great, and one of the key things with it is that Nolan doesn't like using a lot of CGI. So how do you do, you know, a nuclear test without a lot of CGI? He did use a bit of CGI, but apparently they use a lot of miniatures in this film. So it's going to be really, really interesting visually. Try and go see it. It's filmed in IMAX, so definitely try and go see it, and whatever screen will give you the closest replica to what he wants you to see it on, because it has to be seen a certain way to kind of get the right ratio for this film. So it's a cinephile's dream. It'll be good crack.
Sounds good.
Oh, Oppenheimer.
Sounds really good. So Oppenheimer, we have Mission Impossible, we have Barbie, and then if you're watching the telly at home, I'm delighted that the critically acclaimed series The Bear is back for season 2. It took me a while to get into this, but once I did, it was really, really good. It's on Disney Plus. So the team in the restaurant, they're trying to transform a sandwich shop into a fine dining restaurant. Let's have a listen.
We need them to approve all of our new business paperwork, and then they'll send a rep, and that rep will sign off on another rep who will come and look at stuff, and then sign off on a different rep.
How many reps is that?
Many, a lot of reps, yeah. But it's gonna be okay, you know? All we have to do is just stay calm and make sure
that you'll
forget. Shut
up! Sydney! What was that?
Oh, I fell through a wall. Good morning.
It's a bit stressful, isn't it, watching it?
You must have looked now. Fair dues to whoever got that clip. Finding a clip with no language in it must have taken a long time.
It took a while out of somebody's day.
So The Bear season 2 starts on July 19th on Disney Plus. It's already ran in the States, so Disney Plus have it on July 19th. As you say, the first season, It is a bit of a slow burner, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it got great reviews. And of course, Jeremy Allen White, the lead in it, won the Golden Globe for playing the lead role. So he's a great actor. And the great thing about it is a lot of actors in it you don't really recognise that much. Oliver Platt is in it, but apart from that, a lot of the actors I didn't know too well. You know, they're quite new to, certainly new to me anyway. So basically the premise of it is this guy who's a very... a very highly skilled chef comes back to take over his deceased brother's sandwich shop in Chicago, and he tries to change things around. And in the course of doing that, you find out about the characters that work there, the people who are aspiring to be great chefs. And of course, his brother owed a lot of money to a local gangster. The first season ends with Carmi, the lead guy, finding money that his brother has hid kind of ridiculously in cans of tomato sauce.
Yes.
And so they all open these tomato sauce and all the money's there. So you figure he's found the money, all of his money problems are over. That's how season one ends. However, but when we get to season two now, that isn't the case. He wants to expand the restaurant. He wants to expand the menu and he needs more money. So he goes and despite finding all of this, you know, tomato sauce drenched dollars, he still needs more money in order to expand his business. So he goes back to the loan shark looking for money and gets into more trouble. Mm-hmm. So essentially that's what's happening in season two.
And it's bit like a fly on the wall style.
Yeah, it's done very, it's very kind of documentary style, yeah, you know. Okay. You really get a sense of what it's like to work in a kitchen. Like, and they take their time, like when they're creating dishes, when they're chopping vegetables, when they're mixing sauces. In the first season, the guy was trying to make the perfect donut. You stay with him while he does it. So it does feel a bit like a Gordon Ramsay kind of a show as well. So
and your shoulders are sort of bunched up as you're watching it because it is very tense.
It's very tense. Like you're waiting for someone to lose a finger as they're chopping and stuff and you don't know what's going to happen, and it's very intense. And it's very like, ages ago, remember the film, that book, Kitchen Confidential? Like that. Anthony Bourdain, who wrote that. It really is a sense of that, a sense of what it's like to work in a sweaty kitchen in the middle of the States. And so it'll be interesting to see season two. It starts pretty soon. If it's anything like the first season, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and people don't need to watch the first season because you've told them now what happens in the end.
Yeah, finally. Surprise. It's been there for ages. You know, Tom Cruise goes off. If you've seen the trailer, he finds money in a can of tomato soup. What can I tell you? It's not a big spoiler, is it?
Yeah, it's still
the 19th
so
of July, season two of The Bear on Disney Plus. And a shout out to Emma Cawley, who found that non-sweary clip from The Bear, and it did take her forever. So you were dead right, Brian. Now, season two of this low-key American comedy series, Somebody Somewhere, that's been released on Now TV. Aoife, you are obsessed with this.
I'm obsessed. It's so lovely. You know, when you want to watch something that is really heartwarming, but isn't kind of cliched or a bit too twee or a bit too sickly sweet. Like, I like things that have emotion and heart in them, but are also realistic about, like, people are messy, we all make mistakes, we mess up, we fight with people, etc. This stars Bridget Everett as a woman called Sam, who's living in this town in Kansas called Manhattan. Of course, the joke is that it's a small town with the name of Manhattan. In the first series, her sister had died and she'd come home to care for her sister. So she was grieving for her, trying to figure out what she's doing in her life in her 40s. Things just weren't working out. She's befriended by a former school friend called Joel, or a school colleague, or not colleague, somebody who went to school with called Joel, who she wasn't pals with back in the day. They become really close friends because he really looks up to her because she was a really talented singer. And together, they just kind of come together and live their nice little life in the small town. And in the second season, they are fast friends. They're platonic friends. Joel is gay. They're platonic friends at the start of the season. And they're living together, having a great life. And you're thinking, this is lovely. It's so heartwarming. It's wonderful. And then she starts kind of messing up. She does the thing of all adults who are trying to mature. She kind of does some emotionally annoying things. And meanwhile, they are dealing with other stuff that's happening in their families that are kind of difficult. And it's just done in such a lovely, real way where you get a sense of who the personalities are, who the people are. You care a lot about them. So every small thing that happens means a lot.
Somebody Somewhere, that is on Now TV, available to view now. We have to leave it there, but a special mention to The Lincoln Lawyer, which is out on Netflix for its second season, Brian, because I know you said the last time that you really liked that, and I went and watched it then and I really liked it. So that's a good one if you're looking for something from the 6th of July. Yesterday it was out on Netflix. Thank you both, Brian Redden and Aoife Barry. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.